But I think back to when Hands of Compassion first started, and I was thinking just now, it was December 1999 when I first went out there, little knowing what God had got planned in all those years afterwards. If I could have the first slide, that's lovely. It's just to remind us, because there may be some people here this morning who don't know much about Hands of Compassion. And in those very early years, we started a school, and it was the derelict building at the top of that slide. It was just a derelict building, and we'd gather about 12 children who were really wandering around this very shanty compound. They couldn't go to school because it cost money. And their parents or their grandparents or whoever was looking after them didn't have any money. So they're just wandering around. And so we started a school, and as I say, there was only about 12 of them. They used to meet in that derelict building by 12 o'clock when the sun was over their heads. It was too hot to carry on, so we had to stop. But it was a start of a seed of the Hands of Compassion, and how that has grown over the years. And some of you have been getting our newsletters and reading about not only that school, which is still there, they still have about 800 children that go to that school every day, children who otherwise wouldn't be going to school, free, and that school's still running. But we moved on to help other places, because there are other schools, or what people are wanting to start a school in Zambia, with the same problem, lots of children who wander around. Next one, please. Thank you. But I wanted to focus this morning, not about the children, but about the women and the men. They're carers, in other words, these children. I went out at the beginning of August, and I went back to Chibukusu, which was where we first started all those many years ago. And I went to meet a person who I will tell you about in a minute, who felt really moved by God to do something, to act. Because he could see a lot of problems in that community. Children who may go to school, but when they take the government exam, which is a bit like our old 11 plus, when they take that, if they don't pass, that's it. There's nothing. And so there was nothing, nowhere for them to go. So they would just wander around. And you can imagine, if they're told to just get out of my way from their homes, nobody seems to love them very much. They end up on the streets. They end up homeless, or into drug abuse. The girls, so often, they end up doing all the chores at home, and then they, particularly I heard many stories of grandparents or brothers or sisters looking after the orphaned children. So in other words, their nieces or nephews, etc. And it was almost like they were treated as second class to the parent of that family's own children. That was terrible, I thought. How could you do that? You start to look after your niece or your nephew, but really, you've got enough to do looking after your own children, so it's like, it was terrible. So they would run away. Or they'd go into forced marriages, just to sort of haven't got responsibility then, have we? It was appalling what was going on. got a picture of a very old house. That's where John, the carpenter student, lives. Now, 10 days ago, in Chukukusu, they had a very bad storm. I did ask if John's house is still surviving. I was assured it was, but it's not exactly in a good state, because now is the beginning of their rainy season soon. We can go on to the next one. Now I'm going to tell you about Justin. Justin I've known for many, many years out there. And he really had a heart to help these people who were struggling. In our gospel reading, love thy neighbour. And here was Justin putting that into action. He wanted to help them. So what he did, let's first of all teach them some skills in carpentry for the boys, tailoring for the girls. So that then they've got this skill that they acquire, that they can make things to sell to get a little bit of money for their family. And so he started a project, React Skills Training Centre. And I went along to meet some of these people. The next slide, please. I sat down, actually I was kneeling, I think, kneeling on the floor with them. They bought some material from the market, and they were cutting out there and starting to make things. These were the beginning of some of the women who were going along to do this. And suddenly they started smiling because they felt God does love them, and here is somebody showing love to them as their neighbour. Next one, please. On the left there, you'll see Magnus. A really sad story she told me. She lost her parents when they were very young. Her grandmother then took care of her. But then she entered into forced marriage. And her husband started beating her. And eventually he ran off. Now Manus was absolutely destitute. She had three children. She was totally destitute. She was moving from one rented house to another because the owner would say, move on, I don't want you here anymore. She's now living with her brother who's blind. But there's hope at React Skills Centre. She's starting to learn to make something to help her family. And you'll see Ruth at that very back there, smiling. Suddenly they feel wanted. Next one, please. And here they are. This is the beginning of the tailoring. They actually got some sewing machines from Tools with a Mission. Some of you may have heard of it, the charity in this country, where you can take tools, whether it's sewing machines, whether it's carpentry tools or gardening tools or whatever, and they service them and then ship them out to places like this who are desperately in need. So they got those, and that was really wonderful. They have got two electric sewing machines as well, but of course they can't use that yet because they've got no electricity. But these women have started. The next one, please. And here, I went in to see the boys' carpentry students. And here they are making simple little tables or stools. They even made the slatted bed frames, making those as well to sell to people. So there's suddenly this opportunity for them. The next one, please. And this is Maynus at her outside her house. She's sitting there making dresses, ready to sort of sell. Next one, please. next one. Right, so when I went out in August, what can we do, Hands of Compassion? There was a piece of land next door to that centre. It's about 15 metres by 45 metres. And the owner was wanting to sell it because he needed the money. And Justin told me about this. You can see a picture of Justin at the bottom there. And we as trustees said, we really would love to help you because you could see what the wonderful work God was doing through him. And so we sent some money so that they could buy that extra piece of land. And what he wants to do, therefore, because it will be next door to the rehab centre, he's going to create more rooms so that he can take more women and also a bigger space for the men to work as well. So he wants to expand. Obviously, there are lots of other things that they will need. They haven't got any running water. So I think probably the next priority will be a water tank and putting that up, installing it. Obviously electricity. And then because they've bought this extra piece of land, they'll be wanting to put a perimeter wall round purely for security reasons, but it is important to do that. So a lot of needs. But when I think back to the beginning, when I was telling you, you know, you walk along these dusty paths, which go round houses, these mud brick houses, and these children running around, getting into problems. So much, some of these women and men are going through such tough times, so destitute. But here is hope. And it's a real wonderful example. And as they sit together and chat like you knit and chat, they're doing that over the tailoring. And Justin is telling them the word of God, sharing it with them. And so for once they now have a hope in life. So yes, love thy neighbour. I said to Neil, I said, but that's gone out of my last slide. I didn't know at that point what the gospel really was. But this is how we can love our neighbours. This is how Justin's done it to those women. This is how we can do it. Manus is our neighbour. Ruth is our neighbour. John is the carpenter's our neighbour.